I'm glad you're here now, because now I can be a real person.
And you're drinking.
Yeah. Wait, I wasn't drinking on the last one?
Sober September.
Well, hey, it's a new year.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, reading off a new screen on a computer that we have borrowed.
Thanks, Guthrie.
Thank you, Guthrie. Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversation. I mean, who are we kidding? Bringing you irreverent conversations.
Somewhat.
About the intricacies of thinking
locally. Bringing you somewhat... sincere conversations, maybe.
Team sincerity. local thoughts with a global perspective, enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, adventures and life hacks. And today, Super Friends.
Super Friends.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wait, what's the... Do that again.
No.
What theme is that?
That's from the Super Friends
theme
song.
Okay. Gotcha.
I might be the only one old enough to know this.
I haven't heard that.
Really?
And I don't know about the Super Friends.
The
as
Super
a thing.
Friends Hour? Do you know the Super Friends?
I remember
Hour?
Justice League more.
Okay, well, yeah, the
but it's
two
about the same.
Yeah. it was like Justice League of the 80s, and oh my god, it was so campy.
There we go.
It got dark in some points. But,
and now everybody's in on the joke.
Yes.
Fabulous. By the way, we're here with our friend Aqua.
Hi.
Who is a super friend and a super fan and a friend fan.
Yeah.
And a fan friend. I'm not going to rank those. You're all of them. You're very special to us. Hello, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you.
And you haven't been in the Airstream yet, right?
No.
Yeah, welcome to it.
It's pretty sweet.
Because last time you were in the studio, it wasn't here. It was in a garage.
Yes.
So, we also, you know, we can't do alley races anymore, but there's a lot of space around the trailer for us to do races again.
We got a whole parking lot out there.
When the light comes back, it's got to be, yeah, it's a fair weather.
Donuts, yeah.
Exactly. We'll just be skidding around. We could do actual bike races in this parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Ah. Okay, you're coming back.
Yep. I'll be there for that.
You do, like, car slalom?
Yeah.
Weave in and out of the parked cars.
Absolutely.
Pedal-palooza 2017.
Yes. Parking palooza.
Park lot palooza.
Yeah. Of course, we are here at our home at Open Signal. Here in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
They are the community access provider here in Portland, Oregon.
This is about as central of a location. Well, no, I guess the IPRC is about as central of a location as we've had.
Well, central to the southeast.
Yeah.
This is like the IPRC of the northeast.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where all the cool video is going to be happening, including a 70s-themed televised dance party for the open house on
the
25th of February. Yeah, people should come. Well, we'll talk more about that on the calendar. But, hey, I biked to my friend's house for the Super Bowl.
Which friend?
My friend Mike. Mike and Rin and their two kids, and they live out in Happy Valley. So it's a long ways from here.
Oh, that's a good jaunt from your new place.
That means I rode my bike in the rain for an hour and a half.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then we rode back after that in the rain for an hour and a half.
I rode like 15 minutes of that for breakfast and then 15 minutes back and was like, fuck it, I'm not leaving my room again.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the Super Bowl, I don't claim to be a sports fan. I would never pretend to be a sports fan. Aqua?
No.
Okay.
Aaron? I like the parties.
This time around, because there was like, there was a weird vibe this Super Bowl. I got to say, like, beforehand.
How so?
So there was, like, Atlanta versus the Patriots, right?
Uh-huh.
And Atlanta being, like, sort of, you know, in Georgia. Well, not sort of in Georgia. Actually in Georgia.
Actually in Georgia.
But a very predominantly, like, it's a cultural center for, like, what you would consider, like, Black culture.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, forgive me if I am wrong, or correct me if I'm wrong here.
It's more of that than Portland is.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Grand Rapids, Michigan might be more than that than Portland is.
That's very possible.
But so there's that. And then you have the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And there was this weird vibe, I got to kind of admit, like, like that I sensed anyways. Maybe I'm you know, just reading into things, but, you know, seeing how I never spend a day off Twitter.
Well, that's true.
You know, what I was reading in the tweets totally turned me off of this.
Oh, so you were looking at Twitter during the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
I looked at Twitter before the Super Bowl.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
Decided, fuck all this.
So you decided.
I'm staying in my room and I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, there you go. Which is kind of its own sports game.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Who's going to win? We don't know.
Who's going to win this Game of Thrones? The answer is nobody. Nobody wins.
Everybody dies at the
Everybody's
end.
Dying.
That's true. Yeah. Kind of like football.
Yeah. I'm only in season 5, folks.
Well, just because I don't think we don't do a whole lot of like pop culture tie-ins, but I'm going to play this for you here just because this is a thing that, you know, there's a certain a certain fellow who is deflating footballs.
Oh, right.
Have you heard this song?
You sent this to me. I didn't listen to it, though.
Have you heard this?
Because I thought it was too closely related to the Super Bowl.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls.
Are they, like, auto-tune him?
Yeah, this is auto-tune Tom Brady.
Balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them. Then you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect.
What?
Yep.
This is something he actually said in a press conference? You
know, this is all stuff that he said during a press conference, yeah.
This was last year's Super Bowl, the whole, like, deflate game.
Was it only a year ago?
Was it?
I feel like it was, like, 3 years ago. I don't know.
Okay.
It's, either way, not enough time could have passed. I'm just glad, like, that no one's talking about deflating anything anymore. It was way too big in the media.
Yes.
For a thing that, pardon me, sports fans, people already think too much about.
Yes. Well, that's one of my big objections is, like, we're inserting, like, so many narratives within this one game already. I'm talking specifically of yesterday's game. Like, I've seen so many narratives already, like, inserted into that game that I didn't want anything to do with it.
Nah.
Yeah. At one point, I walked out of my room to, like, get something to eat, and one of my roommates was like, "You're missing a hell of a game." And I said, "I doubt that very much."
This is the best part of the song right here.
All right.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
So there you go. That's one of the best things that's ever been done. Shmo and Yoho
so
from Songify This and Auto-Tune the News and all that, they came up with that. So that's good stuff.
He said all those words
said all of those
in a serious press conference without, like, laughing.
Yeah.
And, like, did nobody in the press, like, snicker at all? Because that would be me. This is how I could never be a journalist.
Well, obviously someone was snickering because they came up with that.
Right.
The one thing I will say in regards to you were saying, Aqua, you like the parties. Mm-hmm. I also like the parties. As everybody knows, I've been trying to limit my caloric intake.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was able to go to a Super Bowl party, drink 44 ounces of beer, and eat some food, and still stay within my caloric limit for my diet plan.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Which, it's only because I was able to ride an hour and a half each way in the rain, which I'm convinced burns more calories than not in the rain.
Well, yeah, you're burning calories by being miserable.
That's right.
Misery burns a lot of calories.
That's why emo's kids are really skinny.
That's right.
Yeah, I suppose. That's what happened, and I would like to say that's the sort of thing that, you know, no matter where you stand on many of the important issues of the day, you can agree that riding in the rain improves the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Oh, wait, is that the takeaway?
Anyways.
It is now. Close
enough. That's what I'm
taking
away.
Have you done
it.
Anything else interesting recently?
No.
I'll take that long silence as an affirmation of the fact.
I was honestly, like, really depressed this weekend. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, and I'm going to blame it on the weather.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that I haven't done like a good long ride in a while, and you know, I don't have the fortitude to ride, you know, several miles in the rain
without any good reason.
Right.
Like just on your own, just like, hey, maybe I'll go outside. Well, it's wet.
Right. I mean, I've even turned down invitations because it's wet, you know. The Fun Employment Bingo.
Oh,
you know?
Right. Well, so yeah, our friends at Fun Employment Radio, they're actually how I found that song originally. They love it. They've played it a million times on their show.
I can totally
I hope we're not ripping
that
off a bit.
I mean, if anything, we're kind of riffing on the bit that they've got.
You know,
right?
Everyone should go.
It's paying homage to Fun Employment.
Everyone should go
Greg
to
and Sarah, we love you very much.
.com and listen to their show because they do a 5 day a week podcast. They're amazing. They're pretty great. But they had a bingo night at Landmark Saloon, and that night it was like 22 degrees or something.
And windy.
Yeah. And even though there's a brand new high rise built right next to the Landmark, blocking the east wind, that would have made it the worst. And even though they had heated patios, like, I don't know, patio heaters can only keep so much cold away from you. And I wasn't prepared to go out.
I think about this. I have maybe a little bit less of an excuse on because I was going to Anna's, which is not very far from there.
Uh-huh.
But I think about, you know, getting there is one thing. And then once you're there, you feel comfortable, but then you've got the ride home.
Oh, right.
And, you know, it's getting later. It's getting colder.
Mm-hmm.
And
to me, that rain is all perfect.
You've got comfortable, you know? So this is what happened on Sunday. This confirms this thing for me. So Sunday, I rode to breakfast, met some people for breakfast.
Where'd you go?
Jam.
That's on Hawthorne, right?
On Hawthorne.
Yeah.
It was all right. It's a brunch place, though.
It's one of those
trendy
one-word
names. And
I was there
on a Sunday morning, so you can guess, like,
you got seated right away.
Yeah.
Food came really fast. Your server paid special attention to your special requests.
Right. And like, you see what I carry, like, on a day-to-day basis around me. Like,
yeah. So
I'm not the kind of person.
Have you seen all of his bags?
I've
got a lot of baggage.
You look over right now, you'll see all three bags that this guy carries.
I'm pared down. I've only got two now.
Did you have three that day?
Yes.
Okay. He had three bags.
A saddle bag, handlebar bag, and then my backpack.
Right. And that's more than when you had the two front bags, I think.
In a way, it certainly takes up... Well, no, it definitely takes up more space. Because I've got them all like kind of like hanging off me in some way or another.
Uh-huh.
Whereas with the two front panniers, like, I could just hold them, you know, and
in a hand.
Like, I can move them around strategically to get around crowds.
You look as though, like, you're about to travel, like, from the old country somewhere else every time you take your bags off your bike.
Going down the market.
Sometimes feel like that.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because you and I have both been known for carrying large amounts of things at various times.
Sure.
But you carry a lot of stuff.
I do. Not all of it necessary. But it's this thing that I have where, like, I might need this. You never know. I carry a first aid kit. I might need this.
You never know.
And, you know, when was it? Friday morning.
Uh-huh.
I was able to provide a Band-Aid and antibiotic ointment.
There you go.
Because I carry a first aid kit on me.
What happened on Friday?
Oh, someone just came into the bus yard and they had a cut on their finger.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, we didn't have
looking for
work on Friday, did we?
Oh, I mean Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday was, yeah.
The new Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I carry like a little kit with like toothpaste and deodorant and a razor and whatever because you never know.
Yeah, I gave up carrying my razor.
I might need a shave.
I used to carry a razor with me everywhere I went. I finally decided that I don't go camping on the spur of the moment often enough to need to carry the razor all the time.
Yeah,
but I
carry
it for many
years. It's
certainly
not to be prepared for camping.
But along with first aid,
but now I need to start carrying a tent.
That's right. Yeah. No, but what about what if you need to apply first aid, but someone gets hurt in a place where they have some body hair? Like, you might need to shave them before you apply first aid.
Oh, that means I need another razor to put in my first aid kit.
You're not going to use that one on your face.
No.
No. Okay.
You're just adding more things for me to carry. So I don't know where I got this mentality, but I have this like kind of thing where I need certain items on my person to be, like, quote-unquote prepared.
Prepared.
And I was not a good Boy Scout. I never, like, advanced rank.
Didn't you? I thought you were Eagle.
No, no? God, no. Okay. I was Scout. That was it.
Okay.
That was it.
There you go.
I think they were going to, like, just give me whatever that next rank is. I think it's, like, Tenderfoot or whatever. I think they were just going to give it to me because of... You know, I was there for like 4 years.
Like a lifetime achievement award.
It was like, eh, here, you need to put another patch on.
Right. Well, anyways, you carry a lot of things.
I carry some things. And when you're in a big crowded space or trying to get through a door where everyone's standing, because God forbid people actually form a line.
Right.
Until somebody tells them to form a line. Mm-hmm. But even then, they still like to crowd around the door. Trying to get through crowds is very tough with like all these things hanging off.
Especially at brunch.
And then I'm in this brunch place where people like make this a destination. Like, I wouldn't say they dress up for it, but they're certainly wearing a lot nicer clothes than I would put on in a day.
Okay. Ties?
I didn't see... Oh, I saw a couple ties.
Fedoras. You know,
I was going to say... I did see a couple. Freaking tiny hats.
Yeah.
It's a brunch place. And, you know, it was good food and the service was for the crowd.
For brunch.
Adequate. Mm-hmm. I will say I did give them less of a tip than I normally would give. Like, my standard is 20.
Oh, yeah?
I actually got talked down by the rest of my table.
Did they offend you?
They didn't offend me.
No.
No, but the service really wasn't. It was adequate.
It only deserved 50%.
It wasn't 20%
okay.
Adequate.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, they had to talk me down. They're like, you know, they only came by like one other time after our food came.
There you go. And you know they're getting paid full wage here in Oregon.
Well, yeah, well...
Because in Kansas or what?
I'm sure more generous people or people with more money than me will make up their difference.
But that makes a big difference. Like, Aqua, when you go to a restaurant, do you consider whether or not the servers are being paid full wage?
No.
Okay. Because there are certain places, like I know in Massachusetts where I have three sisters-in-law that all work at the same business, and they only make like $2 an hour or something.
Yeah. I usually tip the same like all across the board. Like, my standard's 20 as well.
Okay. I feel compelled, like, if I know that the server is going to have to make up their wage out of their tips, I feel compelled, even if the service is bad, just to be like, you know, you're going to be on a bread line unless I give you 20%. But here in Oregon or in Washington or anywhere else where, you know, the wages are set and the tips are just like a garnet, they're an actual bonus. They're like an actual appreciation of how well you did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. At that point, I feel like I don't need to tip you at all. In some cases, depends on like what the. I mean, I do, but I
there
don't feel like
things.
I need to.
Like, I'll tip a buck for a coffee.
Mm-hmm. Any deliverable?
What do you mean?
Like, anytime the server has to do something. Like, if you pick up, say, you pick up an Odwalla juice at the coffee shop and you buy that, you don't tip on the Odwalla. I'm assuming.
No, because that's prepackaged.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because somebody made an effort to make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, like, coffee shop employees are probably the most miserable employees as far as the service industry
goes. It's true. Sometimes they get paid to be miserable. Sometimes it's cool.
Oh, right. Hart, we're looking at you.
Are we?
I am.
Oh, I've never been there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they? Is there some attitude?
I went there and ordered an Americano. Apparently, that's a big faux pas.
Oh, really? Is it on the menu?
I got a big eye roll. It was hilarious.
Is the Americano on the menu?
Well, yeah.
That's the easiest drink to make.
Why would they give you a fucking eye roll?
Because they roast their own. You should get a hand, you know, pour over.
I don't like these guys.
I know.
Wow.
All right. Have we offended enough listeners yet?
I don't know.
Let's keep going. Well, Aqua, we were talking about rain. You've experienced now a not even a full Portland winter, but you've been here for the brunt of most of it.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
You've experienced a Portland winter that have beaten many Portland winters.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does snow in Portland, like foot overnight.
Yeah.
I left the East Coast, so it didn't have snow.
Right. Right.
But no, it's been better than I thought it would be and worse than I thought it would be.
Can you quantify both?
like the lack of plowing and a lot of people shoveling, it would not have been that bad if either one of them would happen.
Like if anybody shoveled their walk.
Yeah.
And if anyone working for the city had a snowplow.
Yes.
And we, apparently I learned this year we have 55
didn't
like
Seattle
plow equipped devices.
Yeah.
I thought we had
Seattle
two.
Donated a bunch.
Yeah, that brought it up to 66.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And not a one was used.
Oh, and there was that thing where, like, our new mayor was called out as a Twitter troll by somebody else because
really?
Somebody was like, "Hey, what's up with the streets and why aren't they plowed?" And the mayor responded, "You're sending me a picture of a plowed street."
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't care. I don't have a horse in this race. I'm not saying people should or shouldn't like the mayor, but that was how he responded to a plow request. So,
yeah, that, I'm kind of. It's a kind of a toss-up.
Uh-huh.
You can either like him for the trolling or hate him for the trolling.
Could be somebody's hero.
Yeah. That guy's right. An asshole. I love him.
Yeah. But you're used to places where they do actually plow and or salt the streets. So you're used to seeing pavement in the winter.
Like, not even salting is necessary.
Uh-huh.
Kind of.
Did they salt Dover and I want to say Happy Valley, but that's not it.
Happy Valley, yeah. Well,
oh,
I'm
was.
From the other Happy Valley.
You're right.
Happy Valley.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there is one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm unaware.
Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Gotcha.
Where Penn State is, right?
Yes. Oh, there's a PSU and a Happy Valley.
Oh, really?
Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And here.
It's so much like Portland. You chose the right place to move to.
It's like, I don't have to learn anything new.
They're in slightly different places relative to each other.
Yes.
But
plowing and all that, that's, I don't know, if they plowed when it got really bad... Instead of just like, oh, it'll melt. Oh, it's kind of freezing.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll melt.
Right.
Oh, nope. There's just ice everywhere. Like somewhere in between there.
That was how I felt about the sidewalk, because I just learned this year you're supposed to shovel your walk. Like, I didn't realize it was a city code issue.
Like sidewalk maintenance is up to the resident.
Yeah. Well, and someone brought it up on Facebook, because they're like, remember, you know, like the ADA and like folks with wheelchairs, make sure you shovel it wide enough and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, nobody did. But I didn't realize that was our obligation until just now.
Yep.
So I thought I was going to shovel it like once it slushed up a bit, because usually when snow falls in Portland, it's here, it's pretty for a day, and then it gets brown and like slushy. It's like half melted.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to go out with my shovel and clear it then because it'll be easier.
I think that's what a lot of people did.
And that was when the ice showed up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was like everyone's mistake. So... Do you have a shovel etiquette where you grow up?
Kind of. Like, okay, so there's some people who don't care about anybody else, and they'll shovel up to where their neighbors have shoveled and then, like, continue to keep throwing snow. So now their neighbors have, like, clear path until they're...
They don't shovel like, away from the sidewalk.
It's just like, okay, this is the bump where my line starts and your line ends.
They just push it down to the next guy's walk.
Yeah.
So, like you better get up early that day.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're going to have to shovel like three people's snow.
Shoveling, like, where did all the snow go from?
Did you ride your bike in the snow when you lived on the East Coast?
Yes.
Okay. What was that like there?
Again, they plowed. So, like, the worst of it was if you were out late. Like, well, I guess early in the morning, and there was fresh snow, and then people were driving on it and whatnot, then it'll get kind of slushy and icy like it did here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But most of the time, fresh powder, the most fun to ride in.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
And would it stay powder for a while? Was it cold enough for that?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Like, if it like, snowed and then it was really cloudy the next day, then yes. But sometimes it would snow and then be sunny the next day and, like, blue skies.
Oh, yeah.
And then melt a little bit, and then freeze at night, and then do the same thing.
You got this layer of ice on things, yeah.
But then you learn how to kind of like trail ride on flat land.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm slipping this way, so I'm going to just kind of throw myself this way and stay upright.
Did you get a good sense for how to do that?
Kind of.
Enough practice?
Yeah. Sometimes you like go to correct yourself and then just fall anyway.
Yeah.
But even riding around here during... one of the ice storms, my friend and I were going around, and I didn't change back into the winter tires. So I was like, all right, so the only rule, no brakes. Once you use brakes, you're going down.
Right.
Okay.
You just have to kind of like...
That is how it
go
goes.
Go with it. And there's some times where I almost like just slid out. My back almost slid out, but I kind of caught it, and I was like, ooh, that was fun.
So are we talking about, like, packed snow, like, when it was all, it wasn't icy, but it was kind of packed down and solid, or?
Here, yeah. Yeah. Whenever it's just super solid, yeah. And you could see patches of clear, those days.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So you brought your skills with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But there's ice. Ice sucks no matter what. Yeah. That's why I now have a disc brake bike that I'm going to put studs or something on and then be totally fine.
There you go. Yeah. It seems like that would be a good thing to have. I mean, I have never had an experience where I was riding a bike with rim brakes and suddenly there was ice on the rims, but I could see how that would happen given the conditions. Like,
yeah.
Like if it was like wet and or slushy and frigid wind that was freezing everything back down. Have you ever had that?
Well, yeah, you kind of have to think, like, snow on your tires is kind of building up around your brakes as you're going. So eventually there's just going to be a layer of ice, icy crap.
Just assume that is the case. So you say, no brakes.
No brakes.
Yeah.
No brakes and, like, just kind of feather them a long time before you need to stop.
Right. And this, again, is on rim brakes.
This is on rim brakes, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, just brakes, just go. Just go.
what are some tips for people who would like to do this? Like, how do you ride without brakes in the snow? What do you need to think about?
Kind of ride. Pretend that you're riding a fixie, almost, where you change the, like, how hard you're pedaling with, okay, I'm going to slow down soon, so I'm going to slow down my pedaling. Because if you get your cadence down low enough, then you can just kind of use momentum to get you around and slow down instead of needing to slow down.
So do you want to be in a harder gear then? Or not necessarily?
Like kind of a medium gear.
Okay. Like you don't want to spin because that if you're like spinning the pedals, then you're throwing yourself all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're kind of like in medium, just riding like a fixie or like single speed kind of thing. At least it works for me.
Right.
It was probably not by the book, but it works for me.
That's a cool idea, though. It's good to think about. I feel like I've thought about that with black ice, where like I'm not going to brake super hard. Mm-mm. I'm going to let myself kind of spin back down to speed or whatever.
Yeah.
Just kind of like use gravity to my advantage, keep an eye out for things, don't brake in turns, all those things. But Aaron, do you have any fixie experience?
None whatsoever.
Okay, because I don't either, really. I've ridden, I think David Robinson had a fixie I rode for like 2 blocks.
Okay.
And that's the most I've ever done.
Those things, I've got to admit, I'm kind of afraid of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of a beast of their own. You ride fixed because you use the metaphor.
Don't.
No?
No.
Okay.
I've tried it once. I rode like maybe half a mile.
Uh-huh.
All said and done.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm good with single speed. Because I always forgot that I'm fixed, so I just kind of like go to coast for a second.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, it's funny how much your muscle memory is built into that, because I realized, for example, I have on my geared bike, I've got like muscle memory built in for shifting down when I get to an intersection.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And when I get to an intersection, oftentimes I realize I have changed many, many gears without even thinking about it.
Okay.
You know, I'd be thinking about something else, all that. So I would imagine there's an equivalent when you're riding fixed, like your legs just automatically do the things they need to do to slow down. Right.
Yeah.
But if you have the muscle memory that likes to coast and shift gears and you put that directly onto a fixed gear bike,
right.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It's a really fast wake up call.
Yeah. Add like toe cages are clipped in or something and then you got a real fun thing.
Yes.
Do you ever clip in, Aqua?
No.
Do you have the stuff or?
I don't hear.
Okay.
I tried it once, didn't like it.
Yeah.
I kind of don't like my feet strapped to stuff. That's why I can't ski or snowboard or anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no bail option.
Right.
I like my feet strapped to certain things. I think, I like water skiing with 2 skis a lot.
Mm.
But I know, like, you know, 0 people with boats anymore. So I haven't gone water skiing for a long time. But I do remember, like, I can ski with 2 skis, but I can't slalom and I can't wakeboard. Because those both have you tied into one thing, and you lose the dexterity of your legs in some ways.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So maybe it's similar to that. Like, like it's nice to have the independence of being able to move your leg when you need to or pull it off the pedal when you need to or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to being tied into something.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I mean, people have probably taken at least from some of our catalog that we're against clipping in, and we're not really against clipping in. I mean, what are you? I won't speak for you, but
I'm not against that on principle. I would say I'm kind of against having a thing that only works for one thing. So
right.
In the realm of clipping in, for example, like you have to buy a shoe that sort of is only good for clipping into your pedals. Now I know that there's some shoes out there,
yeah,
or some brands out there that make like kind of a shoe that you can walk around in or whatever. But for the most part, you have a piece of equipment that really is only good for like one thing.
Right.
You know, and same with pedals. Like, yes, there's like conversion pedals, but it's kind of like, you know, when you have like two things that are good on their own and you go to taco pizza.
I disagree. But continue.
Anyways, what am I trying to say?
Like salmon?
Like pedals that, like, you know, are meant to be clipped in, but then you can also kind of use as, right, like, as platform pedals.
Salmon and
like,
ice cream.
Don't really good. Aren't really good. Well, there probably is a salmon ice cream flavor at Salt and Straw.
Salmon and whipped cream.
Yeah, I was going to say we are in Portland. Salt and Straw.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, you kind of, if you mix these two things that kind of work well, they don't necessarily work well on their own mixed together.
It's not the chocolate and the peanut butter.
But, yes. But, again, like, I kind of just don't like anything that is only good for one thing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That said, I do have, like, toe straps,
mm-hmm,
or toe cages.
Those are only good for keeping your toes on your
pedals.
Well,
I mean, you can't really... Well, no, because you can use the other side of the pedal,
mm-hmm,
if you need to, and I have.
Yeah,
times.
But then you scrape the toe cage on the pavement.
Yeah, and I've got the scrapes on them to prove it. Yeah, yeah, but then again, it's for me, that's like the advantages of clipping in, you know, where your feet are like constantly on the pedal.
You get the power from the upstrip.
A little bit.
No. You don't.
I mean, scientifically, you don't.
It doesn't
matter. It's pretty negligible.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, racing at a pro level.
Right.
And also
at
doping.
At a pro level.
If you're doping, then it makes sense to clip in.
Then it makes sense.
I know. Some people will argue with touring that clipping in is good because,
right,
there's more efficiency and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm not against it.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't have to think about, like, my feet on the pedals as much. It's one less thing I have to worry about, I guess.
With commuting, I don't think I would ever get clip-ins. That just seems like too much work.
Right.
Unless I just track stand at every place, but, you know, I don't want to look like that guy.
That'd be rad.
I don't want to be that guy.
It'd be super cool.
We've talked about track standing, right?
Do you do a lot of track standing?
I do an occasional grandstanding.
Grandstanding.
is what I like to call it. Even though I do it, I will make fun of it.
Yeah, and I feel like I've learned how to keep myself up on a bike that's either not moving or barely moving for a little bit. But I also don't, it's not like a contest. Like, I'm not full of shame if I put my foot on the ground.
Yeah.
Because I like the ground. I'm glad it's there.
It's where I put my stuff.
Here's a question. Aqua, what do you think about like how bikey should one look when they go somewhere without their bike? Like, say, into the grocery store.
That's an interesting question.
Like, is it okay to go in full kit, clicky shoes, and helmet?
Without a bike.
And not just like
the store that day.
Not like,
but here's the thing. I might twist that a little bit because like that's one sense of bikey, but there's like a various ways of like looking quote unquote bikey.
Appearances, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
But anyways.
Right. Let's start with
the one thing. Yeah.
Traditional like racing cycling gear. And this is not just to pop in like for a Cliff Bar or something, but say that you're going shopping with a shopping cart in front of you. And you've got helmet and, like, you know, vest and jersey and clicky shoes and tight pants and all that stuff.
And you've already got your Cliff Bars in your pockets.
Right, right.
In your back pockets that are...
How much of that would you be comfortable with?
If I saw him leave from his bike and go into the store like that to get, like, full groceries, then I would wonder what was wrong with him. like, hey, I'm riding. Like, I just got back from a ride, switched bikes, and then now I'm going to go grocery shopping.
I didn't have time to change.
Yeah.
I guess that's possible.
The N plus one bikes, you know?
Yeah. Right. I'll get a kid out, and I'm like, this is I can just see this in my mind as really hilarious. Like, some guy rolling up, all kitted out on their, like, you know, bullet bike. You know, or their Metro Feats.
I feel like there's something about, unless someone is like super conscious of their hair or something, or their weird head or whatever, like
helmet hair.
It feels weird to me to see someone walking around in a helmet, where they're just like wearing a helmet. Because to me, a helmet, even the stylish ones, like I've got one of the ones with the bill on it and everything, and I still don't feel good about walking around with that on. When I'm not riding a bike,
it's usually like the first thing I take off. Once I've gotten off the bike, even before like gloves or anything else.
Aqua, what do you think?
I don't know. I have a billed helmet as well, but I always wear hats. So sometimes I just forget it's the helmet and not the hat. Until I'm like, why is my head so like, it's so heavy.
And that's unintentional, right? You're thinking that's unintentional. Yeah, you're not thinking like, oh, I'm going to wear this helmet for a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just like
it's not like you've fallen asleep in your helmet or anything.
No.
Have you ever done that?
Kind of funny.
No.
Are you sure? No, you're pretty defensive about it.
No, I could not do that. My helmet's not designed to be comfortable.
Yeah, but like, there's one thing. Like, again, like if you're clacking through the store to get a Clif Bar, I guess that makes sense because like you need your Clif Bar,
right?
But. A guy with a grocery
pushing a cart. Clack, clack,
well, and I saw this, which is why I bring it up. I saw it the other weekend at the store, and I was trying to figure out what it meant and how I should feel about it. And I still don't know.
I mean, you know, more power to that person. 'Cause
yeah.
To me, anyways, it feels really silly, and perhaps like it doesn't to that person, but I would imagine it's still got to take a little bit of like self. What am I trying to say? Whatever the opposite of self consciousness, self esteem.
Oh sure,
no wonder I couldn't find the word. Yes,
to me those clothes are perfect.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Well, it just something that came to mind. So. Yeah. Anything else that you've noticed, Aqua, being here as long as you have now? How does Portland strike you as far, like, what is different than where you came from last?
I don't know. Now I have a social life because I have a new job, which is great. But before then, yeah, good news. And I'm up in the Northeast now. I get to be around the bikey people.
We're neighbors.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, good things. But when I first got here, the biggest thing was, you know, I'm in a city now. I'm not in, like, a town where you make plans to meet up with somebody and they're there. Or you just, like, run into people and, like, hang out. Now it's like, now I have to make an effort and just be like, hey, so on Friday at this time.
You got
to
make plans now. Yeah.
Do you want to hang out?
So if you're a nerd, like, the social life doesn't just fall into your lap. You have to pursue that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I haven't found my spots yet. Because I feel like I'm going to go to a spot and see the same people and then just kind of go from there. But
and you just landed in your new place, right?
Yeah,
like a week ago or something.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations. By the way,
thank you.
But yeah, it takes a while to kind of dial in, like, where do I want to go, where do I not?
Yeah, luckily Gladys Bikes is a couple blocks from my house, so I feel like I'm gonna be going in there a lot.
It's a good spot.
I'm just looking around, just just wanted to chit chat.
They got some comfortable chairs there.
They do, right next to the saddle library.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think that's psychological manipulation?
I don't know.
So you can sit in
this comfortable chair and look at all these saddles.
Look at all these comfortable saddles. Hey.
I want to try
association.
One of those.
There you go.
But Gladys, Leah has also, she's going to hate me.
I don't think that's possible.
She hits me every time I say it.
because you called her Gladys?
I called her Gladys.
Yeah,
no, Leah's been really good about saying, hey, you can just show up and hang out in the shop, which is cool.
Leah's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the Leah Benson brand.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they had a Surly party.
I heard about it too late.
What happened?
There was a Surly rep there going over the different bikes and whatnot.
Talking about all their various models that they have available?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did they bring any of their prototypes?
No, I wish. Because I just learned about
the big fat dummy. Yes.
And I was like, wait, big fat. What? There's a big fat dummy coming out.
Is it a big dummy with fat tires?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So that means it's long tail, which means you can put your kids or your groceries or both onto it. And you could ride home through the woods.
So you could put boulders on your bike.
And go over older. Yeah. 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 Go over other boulders with boulders in your bike.
That's very cool.
Yes.
So what did they have there?
They just had whatever Shop Models Glass Bikes has, which is a straggler and ogre cross check, you know, some fun stuff.
Nice.
And the troll is the one that you got, right?
I got the ogre. The big brother sister.
That's right.
The big brother sister. That's what he says.
Because there's the Krampus too, right?
Yeah.
Troll, ogre, Krampus, and they're similar to each other, but one is more like fat bikey than the other.
I think the Krampus is a single speed.
Oh, it is.
You can put gears on it. Because they gave one away.
With,
I didn't win it.
Geared up.
But it was geared up. But the Krampus, they don't have the same dropouts. Like the troll and the ogre have the same dropouts.
What kind of dropouts do they have?
They have like these custom horizontal dropouts with like different brazons for like trailers and whatnot.
Okay. So the dropout, meaning that like that's where the rear wheel goes when it clicks into place.
Yes, because you can directly mount the Surly trailer to the frame.
Yes.
As opposed to like, you know, like say with a Bob, you have a skewer, or with a Burley, you have like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever proprietary thing
the
brand uses.
Rear triangle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forgot that Surly makes trailers too.
Yes.
They have the best trailers.
The Bill and the Ted.
Yeah. Which one is bigger?
I freak it every time.
I feel like it's Ted, but I'm not sure.
I know the answer.
You're not going to tell me?
Yeah, you're the Surly guy.
So.
You are going to tell me.
In Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill was the shorter one.
Yes.
And Ted was the taller one.
Absolutely.
However. With the trailers, it's the opposite.
Okay,
yes.
So Ted's the small one.
Yes.
And Bill is the big one. But Bill always seemed like he was kind of more in charge of the duo, right? Whereas Ted was just kind of going along with whatever's happening.
Well, Ted, I mean, he was played by Keanu, so he was the better looking one. But yeah, Bill sort of seemed like
depends on who you ask.
At least, I mean, as much as one could say of the pair, Bill kind of seemed like the brains of the operation.
Air quotes.
Yes, that's fair.
Thank you.
Yeah, but more so than Keanu.
What?
Yeah.
I want to make a supercut of every moment in every film Keanu's ever done where he makes that sound.
Whoa. Because he did it in The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Did he do it in, what was it called? John
Wick.
John Wick. Did he do it in that?
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure he does.
Did he do it in Speed?
Yes.
Did he do it in Speed 2? Trick question. He wasn't
in Speed 2. I was like, wasn't that a different actor?
Speaking of which, we haven't done a movie commentary this year.
We haven't. No. We should do one.
Yeah.
Aqua, are you in for this?
Yes. Always.
Which movie should we do?
Oh, man. I don't even know.
Because we've done Premium Rush. We've done Speed. There is a couple other things that I thought for consideration.
Is there a movie that takes place in Happy Valley so you can point out all of the landmarks?
No. The closest one was some with like Denzel Washington and there's a runaway train. I don't remember the name.
Oh, yes.
Was that Deja Vu?
Unstoppable.
Oh.
Unstoppable.
Oh,
that was like.
It was less of a title and more of a description of Denzel's acting.
Absolutely. What's the. Isn't that. Who's the comedian? The comic? W. Kamau Bell did a podcast called. Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And he is.
And they like tied everything into like a Denzel film.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked, what was the one where he was like a hostage guy? Or like he was holding hostages in a bank.
Oh.
And Robert Duvall showed up to talk him down.
Yeah. Was it Robert Duvall?
I thought so.
I thought it was Kevin Spacey.
It could have been both.
Those are two.
Maybe it's two different movies.
Maybe. No, that's a. It's
not impossible.
It's a great example of like modern film noir, even though it's not so modern anymore.
But it's super noir.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is. Shoot.
Mm.
It's not the negotiator.
Write to us.
Am I really gmail.com?
Where's Johnny K when you need him?
Yeah.
But no, I was thinking it's Pee Wee's Big Adventure, because that's a bicycle based movie.
Denzel was not in that movie.
No, that's true. But I'm thinking of things we should do a commentary for.
Lawrence Fishburne was in the series.
Yes. He's not Denzel.
No.
He's not Denzel.
He's the best actor of all time.
He's the working man's Denzel.
I'm done for Pee Wee's Big Adventure because I haven't seen that in years.
And I've never seen it in its entirety.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's that. There's also, Quicksilver? And
I haven't seen
Rad.
That at all.
Is it Rad?
Rad.
It's the BMX movie?
Yep. What about the Dirt Bike Kid?
I don't know that one.
Nobody
is that a
does.
Movie?
It's a real movie,
though. Okay.
I believe it's the same kid that was in A Christmas Story.
Okay.
If not, they're very similar looking.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it's stereotypical, like, 80s kid down on his luck. He's bullied, and this MacGuffin teaches him how to be more sure of himself. And in this particular case, it's a dirt bike.
Hmm.
That talks.
Oh.
It's a sentient dirt bike.
So it's like Disney's The Kid, except Bruce Willis is a dirt bike.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
The Dirt Bike Kid, subtitled, Bruce Willis is a Dirt Bike.
Right. He was a dirt bike the whole time. we got to figure out which movie we're going to do. It sounds like you want to do Pee-wee.
Pee-wee.
We can do Pee-wee.
But we should figure this out and give people... We usually do it as a Christmas gift, so we should do our belated Christmas present to the audience this year.
It'll probably be too late for Valentine's, too, wouldn't it?
Let's choose the next available holiday and designate that one as why we're doing it.
Wait, have you guys seen Super Mario Brothers?
Yes.
Oh, I've heard about it. I listened to John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
The dude from The Thing...
Yeah.
The guy who was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, neither can I
now. The detective. Or we could just see that movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's transportation themed, right?
Yes. We're just making
because they animated that guy.
Oh, shit. It's all about the demise of the streetcar and the rise of the highway.
Well, hey.
Yes.
We got so many movies on our list.
The whole purpose of killing these tunes was to build a highway through Toontown.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm serious. I'm not even shitting.
No, I remember it. I was just like, wait, there is a connection.
There really is.
It's like Mickey Blizzard in Toontown.
Yes.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, we got to think this over. If anybody has any input, they know how to reach us, right?
503-847-9774.
Yes.
Really? I got it right?
Or on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. What are you looking forward to, Aqua?
Summer.
What's happening next? what's the big
summer
news? Summer.
Big news. Everything that happens in the summer.
Were you here for Last Pedalpalooza?
I didn't get to go to a single event.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were here, but you were working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So this year,
not
I'm taking
working.
Off for every event I want to do.
Vacation time.
Hey, guess what? I'm not working between these hours.
Seems like a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Are there any rides that you heard about last year that you're hoping will make a reappearance?
Bowie versus Prince.
Oh, you know that can't happen.
Well, that's
I know,
a
but I'm
good
make my
question,
own.
Right?
By the way, the name of my bike is Starman for David
Bowie. Oh, really?
Bowie.
Really?
Yes. So I'm
the
just
name
make
of
my
our
own.
Pugsley is the kid.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to have a David Bowie.
David versus Prince. We can't do that.
It's going to be the unofficial.
Okay.
With unofficial.
There we go. It's the Prince versus Bowie ride, like asterisk.
Yeah.
Or
like
whatever.
We're going to go to a bar, and then that's going to be the ride.
Hey, there we go.
Okay.
And then you're going to bully the jukebox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes!
We're going to play Let's Go Crazy 17 times in a row.
This is my favorite thing to do.
Have you heard that article? Have you guys seen? I think I sent it to you. The article about the guy who played The Boys Are Back in Town.
No.
Like, constantly, endlessly on repeat. And
I told you I used
beat
to do
up
this
multiple
at,
times. You
oh,
did
really?
That with that song?
Not with The Boys Are with Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire.
Me and my friends would go to this specific like restaurant. It was like kind of high end ish for our town anyway.
But it had a jukebox.
And it had it had a jukebox, so not really high end. And we would just pummel this thing with quarters. and Ring of Fire, every single one, to the point like where waitresses would see us come in and just automatically unplug the jukebox before we even got there. They used to do this thing for regulars, like they would just give you a couple quarters specifically for the jukebox.
Yeah.
And that's what started the whole thing was like, you know, we'd been going in here every now and then. And one of my friends at the time was, you know, kind of a smooth talker and was like, you know, hey, you give quarters to like my parents and them. Give some to us.
Let us play something. And then,
what should we do with these? Ring of Fire 7 times. It got to the point where like we were putting our own money in just to troll everyone.
I'm proud of you. It's fantastic.
I'm not sure I'm proud of that.
I need to link to this. The story is a favorite of David Robinson.
So this guy put the boys back in town.
Yes, just endlessly.
And he would get beat up?
Got beat up, got blacklisted from a bar.
got blacklisted from a bar.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, you can't come in.
Listeners, write to us. Tell us what you would play on repeat if it was no, you know, if money was no option.
So many choices.
Yeah. Aqua, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks
for
having
me. Do you have time to hang out for our calendar and our news and our mail?
Oh, forever.
Fabulous.
Yay.
What elevator music is this?
Devo.
Which elevator are we in?
The Devo elevator.
It's the best one. All right, so this is where, surprise, surprise, we're going to make it seem like no time passed at all.
You know, there's like various music themed rides, but you don't see a Devo themed ride.
Well, I know what you have to lead this year.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Get out your radiation suits, everyone.
That's right. All right. Well, speaking of upcoming events.
Speaking of radiation suits.
Yes. Don't ever use that. We just did. Tim Mooney, you'll never
Thank
be
you.
Safe in our studio. What's on our calendar?
First up, February 10th. That is this Wednesday.
Friday?
Yeah. This Friday? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, I'm going.
Are you?
Yes.
Nice. Where are you going?
I'm going to Live the Revolution, Bike Love Stories.
Yeah, I wanted
put
to
on
go.
By the Street Trust.
Yes, which, this is a great event. I went last year. It was super fun.
Do you know who's I'm seeing this year?
No. Who?
You love her. I love her. Aqua loves her. Leah Benson.
Glad. Oh. Dun, yes.
Dun. Oh my God! Now she really doesn't need
Leah Benson, MC. This is awesome.
Yep.
Very cool. I'm surprised that we weren't promoting this earlier because we knew that it was happening earlier. But it's amazing.
It kind of flew under our radar.
Yeah, amazing live storytelling event. People talk about bikes. There's beer. There's prizes. Everybody gets a little package of cool stuff, swag. It's awesome. So February 10th. That's this Friday. If you're in Portland, you should go. On Saturday,
February 11th, Friends of Gateway Green Work Party.
Get your shovels. We're making a bike park in Portland.
Mountain bikes.
Yes.
February 12th, that Sunday.
Yes.
Bike Tour Cuba, photos and info.
That's right. Daniel and Ashley went to Cuba, and they've got photos and whatnot. They're also going to be on the podcast, but you should go see this
live thing. If you want to preempt the podcast.
Because you can't see pictures in a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't come into the studio. As much as we love you, you can't come here in the studio and ask them questions. There's only room for so many people. So if you want to ask them your own personalized questions, they're going to be at VeloCult. February 12th.
What time?
That's a good question. If we had Wi-Fi, we could answer. Well, we got a link to the Facebook event on our page. So go see it. February 25th.
Open singles. Open singles.
Wait, my bad. It is 70s theme,
it's
but
Signal.
Open Signal. That's the new Portland Community Media. They've been Portland
our
Community
house.
Media for years, and yes, they're
they
having an open house.
They are kind of our big brother / mom and dad.
I'd like
I
to say
know.
They're our big sister.
Okay.
Because that's less ominous.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
They're the organization that gives us a place to park our Airstream trailer. So, there's going to be an amazing open house thing. There's going to be involvement from StreamPDX. You can come in here and participate. You get to hear what people are saying.
I believe we'll be taking a time slot
yes.
of indeterminate amount of time.
That's right. We're going to be here. You can come. You can meet us in person.
Yes. Leah Benson, you can come punch Brock Dittus in person.
That's right. Come here and watch Gladys punch Brock.
She's really going to do it now. Yeah.
But yes, that's where we mentioned there's going to be a 70s-themed televised dance party. If you've ever wanted to be on cable access, now is your chance because you get to wear your coolest duds from way back in the day and gyrate in front of the camera.
February 26th, the Chili Hilly Ride in Seattle.
That's right. Mr. T is going to be there.
Get yourself there.
Yep. It's a ride for charity, and it's a good ride. Bainbridge Island.
February 27th.
What a great weekend.
Yeah. Holy cow. That's like two full weekends.
Yeah.
February 27th, Menagerie in Motion, Kinetic Derby in Gainesville, Florida.
That's right, and we would love to hear some audio. So if you are at the Menagerie in Motion, Kinetic Derby, send us your audio clips.
Drunk Dial-Us.
You know what, everyone?
Or Sober Dial-Us.
That's right. I don't care. I don't discriminate. Yeah.
We will play whatever voicemail you give to us.
Right. Are you at Menagerie in Motion? Are you a Satanist? Send us audio.
You a Satanist?
So,
hashtag fun.
This is a reference to something you probably haven't heard yet.
Yes, but you might. Anyways, Menagerie in Motion is happening, which brings up, I titled this segment Calendar, Be a Part of It, because if there's something happening that you want us to know about, tell us what's coming up. We will promote it.
Around the world.
Yep. Anywhere.
Anywhere. We have listeners all over.
I suspect it's not on the moon, but if it was on the moon, we would promote it.
I'd promote that.
Yes.
Yeah, even if by the off chance I might get like free tickets.
Ooh, yeah. Right.
Elon Musk.
Excuse me.
You
Mr.
got an
Musk.
Event? You got an event we need to promote?
You've heard of us, right?
We'll do good things for you.
Yeah, March 11th, Dalles Mountain 60. 60 miles out in some beautiful country in central Oregon.
March 20th. Oh, yeah.
Right by the Columbia River.
Yes. Hopefully it'll all be melted by then.
Yep.
I mean, the snow and whatever. The Columbia River didn't freeze.
It's already melted.
March 23rd, the Timber Trail launch party.
That's at Base Camp Brewing. And if you are super excited about GPS coordinates, show up.
Because who's not?
They're
going to
release
right,
them. Yes. Yep.
Am I right?
Timber Trail. It's a single-track mountain bike trail from north to south, or south to north, whichever you prefer, through Oregon.
February 15th at 10 a.m. I hope to see you all there.
Wait, when?
February 15th at 10 a.m.
Where is that? April 15th.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. April 15th, tax day. Yes. Hope to see you all there.
I will have finished my 1040s by then.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, because I know I need to clear the whole day to ride 100 times around the Lad Circle.
It's 500 times around the circle.
That's right.
For 100 miles.
Yes.
Lad's 500, mm-hmm. Second annual.
Yep, bring both bikes.
Bring both, yes.
Or bring a team.
I wonder.
Nathan Jones rule.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you there last year?
No, but I remember hearing about it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was a relay, which meant that if only one person is on your team, then you need to bring another bike so you can change bikes. So it's kind of like a relay.
Yes. Hit me up. Apparently, I need to put a team together because my teammate is riding on their own.
Right. And Adela, who has also been a part of Team Sincerity, is also putting together a pack of ladies to ride the last 500.
I won't begrudge that.
You know what? Well, and Harkins moved out of state, so...
God damn it, Harkins.
You can still... the time is prime for submissions. If you want to be a part of Team Sincerity, we're not guaranteeing that you can be a part of Team Sincerity, but Aaron is taking applications
right now. I'm
taking
applications right now. Apparently, I should have been taking them a lot earlier.
Yeah. It's okay. It's April. May 5th, Film by Bike. It's happening.
It's going to happen.
Talk about it. If you haven't.
You can't stop it from happening.
If you haven't heard about it, go to thesprocketpodcast.com. Type in Filmed by Bike. You'll hear about it. It's great.
June 11th, Dad's on Vacation.
That's right. This is a Pedalpalooza ride hosted by Eric Iverson.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So get your short pants and put your cameras around your necks, and we're going to go to the cool Travel Oregon spots in Portland.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Mom's welcome, too.
June 14th, Bicycle Christmas.
That's right.
You know what that's
buy
about.
Buy some shit.
Buy someone a bike.
That's
or
right.
Buy yourself a bike, but really buy someone else a bike.
Or buy your bike a bike.
I know what I'm getting my bike for Christmas.
Something tells me that's not going to work out so well. Jealousy comes into the mix. July 7th, the Steams Mazama 1000.
1000.
That's 1000 miles leaving and returning to Portland, going to the two highest points in Portland, I believe.
Oregon. Do we know some of
this great state called Portland?
The competitors this year?
I don't know who they are this year. We'll find out. But this is the one that David Robinson did last year. This is the one that...
Maria Schur did?
Yes.
Yes. I know we know more people on there.
Nathan Jones put it all together.
Yes.
So, but he's going to be busy riding around the world. So.
The whole world.
The whole world.
Donate him. Donate some money to him. Help travel.
True. Yeah. He's still trying to raise some money. So, yeah, we'll post a link to that as well. So, anyways, that's what's on our calendar. Now, our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike? I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
What do we have?
All right. First up, from sleepbus.com. Hey, everyone. We've made tremendous progress bringing the Sleep Bus experience to life, and we're excited to give you a sneak peek inside. Every material on our next generation buses, from the memory foam mattresses to the plush headboard fabric, has been meticulously selected and customized to create the coziest travel experience possible.
And this is the Sleep Bus that runs from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
And, yeah, so they sent you some pictures.
I'm on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know us personally. Although they might someday. But yeah, Sleep Bus.
I thought this was like to you in specific, like, hey, Brock, I know you care so much about the Sleep Bus.
Courtesy of MailChimp.
Sleep Bus experience.
No, they're super cool. They've got this whole project going, and yeah, you can get on a bus and sleep all night until you are where you want to be. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool deal.
Next up, a little bit, well, pretty heavy stuff just happened today. A bicycle rider died in a collision with a box truck driver in North Portland. This came to us from bikeportland.org. Happened around 9 a.m. at the intersection of Interstate and Farragut. The initial police statement said the man may have been on a bicycle. I was able to confirm that by going to the scene this morning. From what I saw, it appears the collision was a classic right hook. The operator of a large, white, unmarked box van was driving northbound on Interstate and then turned right onto Farragut.
And what was the thing that you and I were talking about before we started the show tonight?
Yes. So here's the thing. Like, yeah, this is really heavy stuff, and like, I don't want to make light of this. You know, someone is dead, and also that driver of the truck is going to have to live with that incident. Also, in the meantime, like, I'm so tired of hearing at my job people telling me, or even just on my commute, like people telling me how, like, I'm not wearing bright enough clothing. Where's your helmet? How, you know, where are your lights? How do your lights work, or whatever? Like, are you sure you're safe? You know, is it okay out there for you? This guy did everything right. As far as I could tell, this guy was in a bike lane wearing a helmet. The article even mentioned that his lights were still on. Therefore, even having lights on in the day.
Daylight hours, yeah.
Did everything right. And nothing stopped this man from being killed.
Right. Except for perhaps a driver's attention. So that's the thing. It's like, this could happen to anybody, regardless of how much effort you've put into safety.
Right. And, you know, I'm not saying don't be safety-minded. That's...
Of course.
You know, that's like first and foremost in my mind when I go out. But your clothes are not going to save you. And your helmet, which is essentially a piece of clothing, is not going to save you from driver's neglect.
Right. Which puts, I mean, it's not like, in some ways we're speaking to the choir, right? Because we are talking to people who realize the dangers of riding on the road. If you're listening to us talk, you know that you got to do what you got to do to keep yourself safe, to be aware of what's happening. But I guess in some ways, like, we can't take a lot of shit from people who are saying that, well, you should be more this or more that. Like,
right. Well,
the onus is on the operator of a large vehicle that has your life in their hands.
It presupposes that, yeah, that the responsibility is on us for, quote unquote, choosing, you know, to travel this way. And some people on bike don't actually choose to ride a bike. You know, we're not all, what am I trying to say? We're not all like these privileged snowflakes that are just riding a bike because it's not a car.
Sure. Some people have it because that's what they can afford.
That's what they've got. Yes. Or circumstances dictate that they can no longer drive and they're
right.
paying for that. But in the meantime, you know, anytime something like this happens, and it happened even just this afternoon, you know, as I was finishing up work, someone came up to me and was like, hey, did you hear like, this person died on interstate while riding a bike. And I was like, yeah, actually I was just reading about, I had the article up, right.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, again, well-meaning, however, goes straight to like, well, I hope you're careful out there. And I didn't really have the heart to say it to this person, 'cause I know like they mean very well, but in the meantime, I really wanted to come back with, like, I hope you're careful out there. Like, by saying I need to be careful sort of presupposes that they do not.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I almost got ran over one time by a fellow coworker. And the first thing they said to me, you know, after we got to work was, like, you need to be careful out there on Marine Drive. And I didn't have the heart to say it to this person, but I wouldn't have almost got run over if both hands were on the wheel, not one hand on the wheel, one hand in a, with a coffee cup, and they were paying attention because I was already in the intersection when they were going through it.
Right. This is a classic example of the thing that is the case in many ways, in many situations, in many power structures, that in the world that should be, the people with power and privilege are the ones who are watching out for those without.
Should be. Yes.
And that's the sort of thing we all need to work towards, whether that means
the mode with the most potential to do harm should also have the most amount of care in
right.
how they travel.
And this goes beyond travel and transportation as well. This goes for anything.
Sure.
Anytime someone has power and privilege, they are responsible for protecting the people that have less of that. And I think this points that out. So it's up to the people who realize that to make sure that they communicate that and that that is the message that gets widespread. So.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it to our attention.
Thank you.
We have some mail.
We have some mail here.
We also have a plane going overhead.
I didn't think we were that close to the airport.
Well, that's not a jet plane. That's a little, could have been a Cessna.
It's too small for a moon.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
All right, first up from, as far as I could tell, a new listener?
Yeah, relatively new.
Bill C. reviewed us on Facebook. Couple reviews. Sorry, I had a little burp stuck there. Couple reviews. First off, you guys rock.
Aw, thanks.
And then comes back again. 5 stars. Awesome show. Have been binge listening since January 1st this year. Trying to catch up. Really interested in simplifying. I've reached maximum complication and just want to ride my bike.
That's a really interesting phrase. Maximum complication. Are you familiar with that one, Aqua?
I am not.
No. I'm familiar with the concept. I've been there myself. But yes, since he's been listening since New Year's, I'm wondering if perhaps he has a New Year's resolution
to listen
to us. Yeah.
To us.
No,
thank
to,
you.
To simplify in some way his life. It seems like he's doing fine. If his resolution is to listen to us, he's been, yeah. Well, I think he was one of the people that brought up when we were switching media hosts that some of the episodes weren't available because, you know, I thought I had everything set, and then I had to upload a bunch more files, and I also had to make sure there were more than 10 episodes available for the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And iTunes only displays like
300.
Yeah.
Which means if you want to go back and listen to the really old stuff, we are now, like, iTunes doesn't even have the Brandon Rhodes years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a whole era that people are missing out on.
First 2 years of the show. Those are all on archive.org. They're also
those
at thesprocketpodcast.com. Yes. So if you want to go back and listen to them, they are there. And I spent like 2 weeks making sure that was the case.
Well, speaking of which, this comes from Thomas Skato, and I can say that now.
You know how to pronounce his
yes.
name. Did he tell you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Brock and Aaron finally got to the first 50 Sprocket episodes downloaded. It took some wrangling to get them onto my iPod. They are wonderful.
Oh.
Thanks. Well, honestly, I'm not in the first 50 episodes. So, you know.
You're not in the second
shouldn't,
50
shouldn't
either.
Be thank- That's true. Shouldn't be thanking me at all. Thank you,
like,
Brock.
You were in like three of them.
Yeah, yeah, there was a couple.
But,
yeah.
Yes.
I found out about you guys on Tim Mooney's Pedal Shift podcast.
That's right. And if you
Yay.
Don't know about Pedal Shift, I don't know why. Because
you're there's a lot of crossover listeners.
Yes, there is. R. It's good.
Sar.
I'm curious. So I know we've shared a lot of listeners. And Thomas here, by the way, says Skado like Play-Doh.
See, that's the signature I missed when I read that email. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So he says here, like, he found out about us through Tim Mooney's podcast.
Yes.
And so I wonder, like, where the origin is. Where's the point of origin for each listener of each podcast?
Oh, right.
Like, how many listeners did we send over to Tim Mooney? How many
did he send to us? Because we got a couple of drinks riding on those numbers.
We do now.
Yeah. So that means you need to email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com and tell us
who started it first.
That's
for you.
Right. Yep.
And we won't shame you at all if it was Tim Mooney.
No, we'll praise you if that was the case.
I guess so. You're right.
Because we value the fact that you were here. So thank you, Thomas.
Yes, thank you so much. Also, speaking of moving over platforms.
Yes.
This was some good words, not necessarily sent to us, but said about us.
Right.
By our old host.
Yeah, so if you go to thepodcasthost.com/thesprocketpodcast, where we don't live anymore.
Yes, say we are no longer there. But he will also say, we were delighted to host the Sprocket Podcast here at the Podcast Host for a number of years, but things change. You can now find the Sprocket Podcast here, and he posts the link. Expect the same great shows week in, week out, as it continues its brilliant biking journey in pastures new.
That was really nice
of him. Those were really good words.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you so much.
He's the nicest guy in the media hosting business, except he's no longer in the media hosting business. So that's why we had to move. But, yeah, I'm glad that all worked out.
Yeah. Lastly, from Harry Hugel, after a crap day like today, the Sprocket Podcast always puts a smile on my face.
Oh.
Good last show, gents.
Thank you.
And I believe that was in reference not PJ. To just to, oh, it was
I
the PJ
so.
One.
I think so.
Oh, okay, even better.
Yeah, right. Unless I'm wrong. But,
I mean,
yes.
Harry, you can correct this if we're wrong.
Absolutely.
yeah. But, yeah, glad we could make someone's day better.
That's why we're here. Literally. That's why we're here.
To make your day better. I guess in a way, yeah. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap.
Well, Aqua, is there anything else that that people need to know about? Do you have a website?
I don't.
Do you want one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We'll figure that out.
It's the sprocketpodcast.com.
.com/episode338.
Just search for Aqua. You'll find me.
There we go. It's yeah,
true.
Exactly.
Or like every time we mention you.
Yes. I like the spelling in the last show. The A-C-Q-U-A.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's because it was summer and
yes.
we had the AC on.
Yes. Sure.
Right.
That's why I did it. It wasn't because I misspelled it.
No, it takes a big man to admit.
It takes a big man to admit that they are wrong.
I hope that's a new sounder for something.
that'll be our correction
department
segment.
Of corrections.
Yeah, anytime that we need to figure out. Yeah, yeah.
You gotta leave it in the long pregnant silence afterwards.
That's right. That's right. No, that's what makes it funny.
Yes.
And probably us snickering in the background. All right. Show's over, right?
I guess so.
All right, let's go home.
Our website is the Sprocket Podcast at the Sprocket. Let's start over. I'm sorry.
Okay. Ready, set?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Huh?
What just happened? Like, why are we laughing even? I'd blame it on a carbon monoxide leak, but there's no engines running.
That's right.
The asbestos.
It's the asbestos in the walls.
1967.
That's true. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, because you know what? We never hold your programming hostage like public radio does. Thank you, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellumgard,
Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie,
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, who is going to hook up with Doug Robertson in Minnesota, maybe. Woo. Cameron Lean,
Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Plurpo,
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden,
Eric Wise, Doug Cohen-Miller, Todd Parker,
Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt, who's a time traveler,
Zoe Campagna, Dave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Culey, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, the King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G. Guthrie Straw, thanks for the tech, Brandon Shelby,
Campsite, Aaron Green, Mac Nurse David,
Kathy at Cycling, Walking, Eating, Talking,
Nathan Poulton, Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays,
Tim Coleman, Mr. T, Harry Hugel,
Ed Whitman, EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson,
Brad Hipwell. Hey Brad, we've got your stickers coming. Hang in there. It's been a busy month. Thomas Skato.
And all of our former donors who helped us get this far. Thank you so much.
Yeah, seriously. Now brush your teeth.
Now, if you like this quality programming.
Yes. One of the things I love about the Sprocket Podcast is that they bring things. We're not going to tell you what any of those things are right now, because this is not the content portion. This is the fundraising portion. But let me tell you, one of the things I love about the Sprocket Podcast is that they cover simplifying the good life. And what does that mean to you, Aaron?
Well, that means, not complicating my life and living well while keeping it uncomplicated.
And you know what? One of the things you can do is if you donate right now, you can get one of these tote bags to put all those things that you just got rid of into.
Dude, I'm not sewing no tote bags for nobody.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't work, does it?
Beep. That was great timing.